KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky here in Atlantic. It's 37 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy and breezy today with a high near 60. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In local news, medevac ambulance and Atlantic police responded to an accident at 7th and Lynn Streets this morning. The two-vehicle collision was reported at around 7:30 a.m. A male subject was complaining of chest pains following the collision. No other details are currently available. Elsewhere in Southwest Iowa news, the Creston Police Department reports six recent arrests. Early this morning, 33-year-old Warren Logan Davis of Lenox was arrested at Highway 34 and Lincoln Street in Creston for possession of drug paraphernalia and possession with the intent to sell or manufacture methamphetamine. Davis was being held in the Union County Jail on $100,000 bond. Arrested Sunday night in Creston was 28-year-old Julian Albert Rex Allison and 36-year-old Ronnie Colleen Abel, both of Creston. Allison and Abel were both charged with violation of a protective order. Allison was being held in the Union County Jail, while Abel was being held in the Ringgold County Jail. Both were held pending an appearance before a magistrate. On Saturday, Creston police arrested 35-year-old Garrett Ashley Harper of Creston for OWI third offense. He was later released on $1,000 bond. Last Friday, Creston police arrested 54-year-old Clifford Mark Williams of Creston for OWI first offense and 28-year-old Jeffrey Michael Hoffman of Creston for violating a protective order. Hoffman was transferred to Adams County, where a warrant had been issued for his arrest. Williams was later released on $1,000 bond. And Creston police are investigating two incidents of vandalism. A resident in the 600 block of West Montgomery Street reported Friday that his vehicle's driver's side window was broken out sometime between 7 a.m. and 7:30 a.m. Friday. The loss was estimated at $500. And officials with iWireless in Creston reported Friday that sometime between 5 p.m. on February 25th and 9 p.m. on February 26th, someone shot at their store window. The damage was estimated at $400. A public hearing is set to take place Wednesday here in Atlantic on an application for voluntary annexation of territory located at 56988 635th Street. That's A-plus Design Outfitters Plus. The hearing will be held as part of a regular meeting of the Atlantic City Council, which takes place at City Hall beginning at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday. Last month, Atlantic Mayor Dave Jones explained the hearing is merely a formality as the infrastructure for the Atlantic Wastewater Treatment Plant is already in place. Jones said that Outfitters Plus hooked up to the city's sewer system after the business's septic system failed and they requested an annexation take place. Following Wednesday's public hearing, the council will vote on a resolution approving the application for annexation. If the application is approved, the city could collect the extra penny sales tax for both the land mentioned and any future adjacent annexations in the same area. The council Wednesday will also act on approving a resolution endorsing the use of city funds for matching funds for a Vision Iowa Community Attraction and Tourism, or CAT, grant. If approved by Vision Iowa, the grant monies will be used for the development of the campground, restroom, shower, and shelter facility, an ADA-compliant fishing pier and camp and playground at the Schulberg Recreation Area. City Administrator John Lund says the $100,000 match may need to occur either in this year's revised estimate or next year's budget. The grant match will come from the Schulberg Rec Area Fund, drawing down the fund balance and helping to move the capital project fund towards a closeout of for the fiscal year 2017 City of Atlantic budget. Elsewhere in state news, nearly 1,600 people who were overpaid a total of $434,000 in unemployment benefits won't have to return the money. Iowa Workforce Development Board voted on Friday to let the recipients keep the money, which was paid in 2014 as a result of a faulty phone system. State officials said Friday that several of the Iowans were told to keep the money under the advice of the agency's former director. The current director, Beth Townsend, said the state didn't keep a list of people who tried to return the money, so theoretically anyone could argue the state waived its collection rights. An audit shows the overpayments were part of more than $909,000 the state lost to scams and errors over 3 years. Two inmates are missing from the Newton Correctional Facility's release center. The Iowa Department of Corrections says the two were not present at inmate counts Saturday night. The department says the two are Michael Amadeo and Jesse Foley. Amadeo is serving a 10-year sentence for two drug convictions. His sentence began August 13th of 2015. Foley is serving a 27-year sentence for two drug convictions and one for voluntary absence. His sentence began June 16th, 2004. The Corrections Department says the Correctional Release Center inmates fall into three primary categories: release preparation, challenging criminal thinking, and substance abuse treatment. Police officers in Iowa are finding ways to use social media tools to share information and connect better with the people they're trying to protect. Iowa City Police Officer Ashton Hayes says that when she was speaking at an elementary school recently, she took extra time to take pictures with the kids to post online. Police in Iowa City, Coralville, and the University of Iowa all post on social media sites regularly and make use of Facebook, Twitter, and Periscope. University of Iowa Police Community Outreach Officer Alton Poole says that social media lets the department share serious information like pictures of suspects. The department also uses it for lighthearted posts teasing Iowa State's police and highlighting good deeds by officers. Technology is constantly changing in the face of farming in Iowa, but it's also changing the bodies of farmers themselves, perhaps not for the better. Just as machinery, computers, and fast food have influenced the general population, they've also influenced farmers. A healthy health study that is of the region's farmers is being launched by researcher Paula Schultz at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha.
Historically, we think of farmers as very active people, but they tell us they are sitting in front of their computers and they are able to monitor their irrigation systems, that they no longer walk out to the field. They ride their three-wheelers. So they're sitting like everybody else a lot more than they used.
We picture farmers lifting hay bales and working with cattle, Schultz says, but so much of farming is automated today that farmers don't do as much physical work. A pilot study is underway to gauge heart disease risk in farmers.
No one has really looked at farmers in particular and how their lives have changed and how their cardiovascular disease might be affected by these changes.
In the one-year study, researchers will collect information about physical activity and dietary habits, quality of life, and cardiovascular disease. Participants will wear a device that measures activity during peak farming season and during off-season. Researchers hope the information can be used to identify strategies that could be tailored to the farming lifestyle to reduce the risk of heart disease. And U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says two new research reports show the production of ethanol has become much more efficient. Vilsack says the report addresses one of his top concerns in the debate over the corn-based fuel.
Some of those folks who oppose ethanol are using outdated information, suggesting that it takes more energy to produce ethanol than the energy that ethanol provides. And the reality is that's just not accurate.
One study was conducted by the USDA on the energy balance of corn ethanol. The other was by the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri.
What we found is our corn growers are basically more efficient than they've ever been in terms of what they use in terms of inputs. Our ethanol producers are more efficient than they've ever been. So every unit of energy that's used to produce ethanol and the co-products and byproducts basically produces about 2.3 units of energy.
Vilsack says the research shows the ethanol industry is improving and expanding. Iowa has 43 ethanol plants and leads the nation in production, making about 27% of the country's ethanol in 2015. The state produced a record 4 billion gallons of ethanol last year, according to the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.